If you have your outline, go ahead and take that out with you. We really have two main points today. And those two points I want to tell you from the beginning, and then we're going to work our way through these few verses. We're going to be in verses 9 through 13 of John 1. But what we want to see this morning is this, is we want to begin by looking at the sad news of Christmas and then move on to the good news of the gospel. We want to see the sad news of Christmas and then the good news of the gospel. Last week, before we could really talk and focus on and proclaim the good news of the light of Christ, we had to first look at what? The darkness. This week, before we can really proclaim loudly and understand most fully the good news of Jesus, we have to also understand the bad news. We have to understand the sad news of Christmas. And so if you will, look with me there at those first three verses that we're going to be in tonight, verses 9 through 11. This is what the word of the Lord says. It says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. That, of course, is Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people, they did not receive him. So consider the sad news of Christmas. It's pretty obvious there in the text, but it's this, is that he came into the world that he created. The maker becomes a man. The creator becomes part of his creation. He comes into the world that he made, and yet the world did not know him. Secondly, to that, though, it goes even more personally, It says this, that he came to his own, and his own people, they didn't receive him. The scene that I have in my head is one that fits very well in the Advent season. And it's the scene that we find in Luke chapter 2. There's not a whole lot of description, but there's a whole lot of images that we have in our head. And it's one with Mary and Joseph traveling, trying to get to a place for her to give birth. The time had come. She was in pain. She was ready to give birth to Jesus. And yet we have in our head the scene that we have seen over and over again, whether it was from childhood or whether it was from any kind of depiction really that we have seen of the Christmas narrative, but it's one of Mary and Joseph going place to place, and yet they're not able to find room. There's no place for her. No one will receive her into their home. Now, we don't know exactly what this looked like, but we have certainly images in our head, but what we do know is this, is the entire story of Christ's life and his death from the cradle to the cross is one where he was ultimately not received. He wasn't received there at birth, and he wasn't received in his life. Even the ones who appeared to receive him, they disown him in his darkest hour. They turn from him. I want you to think about a scripture that's well known to many of you, but Isaiah 53. You don't have to turn there, but I want to read it for you. It's about 700 years before the birth of Christ. This was written about him. Chapter 53, verse 1 says, "Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and he was rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and is one from whom men hide their faces." This is about Jesus. It says that he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Man, the sad news of Christmas is that Christ came into the world that he created, that he made, and yet the world didn't know him. He came to his own people, and his own people, they would not even receive him. It's possible this morning that you're here and you don't know Jesus. It's very possible. I would think probable that someone here doesn't know Jesus, that he's come into the world, and yet you don't know him. You hear an offer for his grace and for his goodness and his finished work to be received, but you have received him not. Today, if that's you, I want you to hear what I try to say every single week, and I'm going to say it numerous times today, that no matter where you are, this God that we're talking about, this Jesus, that's where he'll meet you. Today, we're going to talk about the gift of receiving the gospel. So today, if you've never received the gospel, listen close. You're going to hear it proclaimed today. It's also possible that you sit in the room and you have received Christ, that you're a believer. But in a very similar way, not trying to be too corny, but maybe this will speak into your life. You're having a really difficult time making space, having a really hard time making room, preparing time for Jesus. I believe that his gospel can speak over anyone that's in this room today, whether believer or unbeliever, whether one that's been a Christian for 5 minutes or for 50 years. And I believe that the sad news of Christmas can enter in into an ultimate sense into this room where it's you may be separated from the Lord. It also can be represented in a sense where you lack joy, where your life is not reflecting one that's yearning for the Lord, desiring to walk with him, even making room for the Lord. Today, I want you to hear not only the sad news of Christmas, but I want you to hear the good news of the gospel. So we saw the sad news. Now look with me. The good news of the gospel, verses 12 through 13. Some of the sweetest words in all of the Bible. The word says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." It's beautiful. It's amazing. Let's look at it in little small pieces. So look with me there at part A under the good news of the gospel. Let's look at that phrase, "but to all who did receive him." Let's consider the phrase "to all." And let hope be spoken over you this morning. I want you to see, no matter how religious, the gospel is for you. In fact, you need it. But also, no matter how reckless, the gospel is for you. Just receive it. No matter how religious and no matter how reckless, let's consider first, no matter how religious. The person that I think of is an easy one to consider, and it's the man Nicodemus. We find him just two chapters over in John chapter 3. Nicodemus was a morally upright man, more than likely an incredible guy. I'm sure he was super intelligent. You don't rise to be a ruler of the Jews without being intelligent. He was in a very high position. He more than likely had an extremely structured life. He was a Pharisee. I'm sure he was a good leader. He also was a man who appears to be open-minded in the best of ways, in the sense that he was considering the work and the ministry of Jesus Christ, one whom he calls rabbi, teacher, who didn't come up through the typical rabbinic traditions. He didn't go to the right school. He wasn't taught under what would have been known in the culture, the right leaders. He wasn't discipled by the right person. And yet Nicodemus finds Jesus. He goes looking for him. And he comes and has a conversation with him. He respects Jesus. Nicodemus seems like an incredible person. And I'll say this, there's no one in this room who is more religious than Nicodemus. Not a single one of you is more religious than him. And more than likely, no one in this room is more morally upright than Nicodemus. Now, I don't know that for sure, but I'd be willing to think that's probably the truth. And yet Jesus tells Nicodemus, listen to this. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He once again to Nicodemus, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, another way of saying born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Like to this man who's as religious and morally upright as anyone that we could know, he tells him, you must be born again. With that being said, let's just kind of consider down that category there. No matter how good you believe that you are, no matter how morally upright your life is, no matter what your last name is, no matter who your dad is, your mother is, your grandparents are, no matter what they did in their church, no matter the respect that comes from your last name, no matter what neighborhood you grew up in, no matter how much money you make or how successful you are, no matter how intelligent you are, how many degrees are next to your last name, no matter how nice you believe yourself to be, no matter how much, even though you would never say this, no matter how much you think you deserve God's grace or have earned God's approval, you need to hear the Lord say, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. The Bible says that you can only be reconciled to God through Christ, period. And here's the good news. We're all on even ground when it comes to our sinful natures, but also we're all on even ground when it comes to God's love and his grace. No matter where you are this morning, that's where Jesus will meet you. To all who did receive him, not only how religious, but no matter how reckless, no matter how many do-overs you have asked for in your life. And there's people in this room who you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've wished for a do-over more than once. If I could just start over, if I could just do this again, I would do, you know, only to find that the cycle came back. I'll say this to you, no matter how messed up, no matter how bad, no matter how messed up or bad you or anyone else thinks you are, no matter your last name, no matter what cycles are attached to your family's history, no matter where you're from. In fact, I'll remind you this morning of a phrase, what good can come out of Nazareth? No matter how little you make or how much you've wasted, no matter how much you have failed, no matter how terrible you believe yourself to be, no matter how much you believed or you do believe that you have squandered the love and the grace of God, I say to you today, the Bible says very clearly, you can be reconciled to God through Christ, period. Amen. Amen. That you are on even ground when it comes to your sinful nature with everyone else in the room, while at the very same time, you are on even ground when it comes to God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace. No matter where you are this morning, church, what do we say? That is where he meets you. I think of Luke 15 and the prodigals. I think about the son who could be no more reckless. My goodness. He squanders everything on reckless living. He does awful things. He brings shame on the entire family. And yet, what does the father do? He throws him a party. He receives him with love. He celebrates and delights in his son when he returns. What about his other son, the most morally upright guy in the neighborhood? He loves him too, but that guy's lost. He doesn't care about his father either. They're both lost, but they're both loved. To all who will receive him, to all he says, come and receive. I love the beautiful invitation from Isaiah 55. It says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which isn't bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And I'll make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Love verse 6 of Isaiah 55 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Church, I want you to know this today. Anybody in this room, know this. He is here. He is near. Ready to give mercy, ready to show grace, ready to receive you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, shouldn't die, but have everlasting life. Believe in him. Receive him. If you have a pen, write this down. God doesn't check boxes. He gives grace. God doesn't check off boxes. He gives grace. He shows mercy. He receives people. Look at the second phrase there. Not only to all who would to all who did receive him, but secondly there, part B, who believed in his name. Here, when we're talking about belief, this can get so tricky for people because you wonder if you believed enough. You know, did you believe right? Did you get the formula correct? Once again, hear me. He doesn't check boxes. He gives grace. Today, if you're here, we want to look at the right thing. We want to look to the right person. Look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We want to practice this. This is what the Bible teaches us. To not look at the size of your faith, but look at the size of the substance your faith is in. Look not to the size of your faith, but look to the author and the perfecter of your faith. That's Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who's come and the one who will come again. When I think about how to believe or how to receive, one of the greatest phrases is already in a section that we've talked about. It's in John chapter 3. The phrase that I would give would be this. It would be that we must look and live. Look and live. Look and find life in Christ. When Jesus was talking with Nicodemus, he gave a description of this. He didn't say it exactly like that, but in John chapter 3, verse 14, he says this. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. He's going to give this picture of looking and believing as being the same thing. The story that he's quoting from is found in the book of Numbers. It's a really scary story. I don't know if you've ever read it before. It'd be very scary if you were there. Indiana Jones would certainly be scared of it if you know anything about him and his love for snakes. Here's the thing. There is sin in the camp. Sin within God's people. They have turned from the Lord. And God is punishing them. He's bringing judgment upon his people. And it's in a very peculiar way. He sends snakes. And the snakes begin to bite the people. And when people are bitten by the serpents, guess what happens to them? They die. Moses, being the leader that he was, he pleads with the Lord and he says, Lord, you got to save the people. Have mercy. And God says this. He says, here's what you do. I want you to take a staff. I want you to put on the end of it a bronze serpent head. And if anybody will look at the bronze serpent head, if they look at it, they'll live. He puts the very thing up on the stick that was killing them and says, if you look at this, you will live. He does what God says. People look and they live. Jesus uses these words, and I think it is so incredible. It's a wonderful picture. It's beautiful. He says, as Moses did a particular thing, he lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus, on the cross, lifted up. He becomes the very thing that was killing us, sin. The very thing that was destroying us. He becomes it on the cross. It says, so as the Son of Man must be lifted up. What does he say? He says that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. What he's saying is, look to Christ and live. The very next phrase, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whoever looks to him will live. One of my favorite stories is the conversion of Charles Spurgeon. And the conversion of Charles Spurgeon, he tells about being in this little service. He says there was three or four people and the preacher was terrible. Wasn't a clear communicator at all, wasn't a good preacher, but he is preaching his heart out and he gets to this particular part and he's been talking about looking to God for salvation. After he preaches this message that would have been very hard to follow, Charles Spurgeon says that all of a sudden that he began to say, he said these phrases. He said, as if it was Christ speaking to them. He said, son, look to me. I'm sweating great drops of blood. Look to me. I'm hanging on the cross. Look to me. I've died and I've been buried. Look to me, I've risen, I've ascended, I'm at the right hand of the Father. Look to me. And he says he looked and he lived. I'll add to that, look to me, I'm coming again. Look to me, I'm making all things new. Look to me, I'll do everything I said I would do. Look to me, I'm greater than you could ever imagine, that you would even dare to hope. Look to me, I love you, I care for you, I see you, I know you, I'm with you, I'm for you, I'm never against you. Look to me and live. The word that we're told is whoever believed in his name. Whoever looks to Christ and just receives. That's who we're talking about. It's not a formula. It's not a set of boxes to make sure you checked off. My goodness, I know people who you stress out over whether you have confessed loud enough. Dear child, may you know God is not asking you to check off a stinking box or flex your vocal muscles. He's here and meets you with his grace. He meets you with mercy and kindness and love and forgiveness and acceptance. He delights in you. That's the gospel that we're talking about this morning. That's the good news of this Christ. We're told that, but to all who did receive him, all who believed in his name, we're told, listen, look at the third part, part C. He gave the right to become children of God. It's amazing. He gave the right to become children of God. I want to really focus on two areas or two things that this at least means. One is this, is we've already been talking about it, but we think about new birth. New birth. born again in Christ, spiritual life. Some of you know how wonderful this is. I mean, all of you who are Christians, you should. It's where you were dead to spiritual things. But then now in Christ, you have new life. You're like a baby that's seeing things for the first time and feeling your way around this world that we live in. You're learning about spiritual things. The more that I think about new life, man, for me, I'm like a teenager in my Christian life, okay? It's been, you know, and sometimes I act like it, okay? Like, you know, like you're 15 to 20 years down the road in believing. Sometimes I feel like a teenager in my faith. Some of you may still feel like a baby. We got to eat the right things and drink the right things. Jesus Christ offers himself to us. He invites us to come to him. He gives new life. For us in Christ, if you don't feel a desire, if you don't have the capacity to see, if this book doesn't do anything for you, if you don't see the beauty in this book, you may not have new life. God's here. He loves you. He's for you. Look to him today and walk in the newness of life in Christ. Verse 13 tells us, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. This is something that God does. What do we do? Receive? Look? What does God do? He gives new life. He gives new life. And for us in this room, if we've looked, listen, we trust in his work. If you're out of this book, please get in it. Please get in it. This is how God speaks to us most clearly. He speaks through his word. He speaks through his people. He speaks to us in numerous ways. But this is a primary way, if not the primary way, that God will speak to you in your life. Those who have been born again need his word. But not only has he given us new birth, but listen, with this new birth, we have a new identity. And it's a new identity worth celebrating. In the text, it says that he gave the right to become children of God. Amen. Like, we have a new birthright. We have a new status. We're a part of a new family. It's the family of God. And there are many rights that come with this family. In this family, we are redeemed. In this family, we're forgiven and we forgive. In this family, we're loved. As a child of God, my Father delights in me. As a child of God, as particularly a son of God, all of you are sons of God. Even the girls, okay, that's just how it is. You're a son, firstborn status in Christ. I'm a bride, you're a son. That's the way it works in the kingdom of God. You are a son whom he delights in, whom he sees. You're known as a child of God. You're wanted as a child of God. You're chosen as a child of God. You have purpose as a child of God. You have an inheritance as a child of God. You're his. He's yours. As a child of God, it's worth celebrating. If you don't feel that, there's something wrong. Come to the Lord. He doesn't ask you to check boxes. He gives grace. He loves you. He's for you. He is never against you. Today, if you don't know Jesus, come to him today. Come, I'll lead you. Come, I'll lead you to the Lord. He's here. Amen. Today, if you're struggling in your faith, man, come up here. I'll remind you, it's not the size of your faith, it's the substance of your faith. We'll look to Jesus together. No matter where you are today, we're going to look to Christ. But come, let's pray together. Grab somebody next to you, pray with them. The Lord is with us. Open up your eyes and see. Open up your ears and hear. He's with us and he's for us and he is never against us. Let's pray together and then let's receive and respond to the Lord as he calls us to, as he leads us. Father, thank you so much for your word today. It's one of the most beautiful texts in all of the Bible. God, I pray that you would use it this morning, that you would continue to use it, Lord, to bring people to yourself and to bring joy in the lives of your church. God, I pray for any areas of death that you would bring life, for any areas of darkness that you would shine your light. Lord, for you to resurrect what is now down. Lord, and that you would crush anything that is crushing us. God, may you work for our good in this place as you promised that you will. Lord, may you use your people today to be ministers of reconciliation with one another. Lord, may we be people who love each other enough to pray together, to know what's going on in each other's lives, and to walk through the valleys with each other. May we celebrate the peaks and walk in the valleys. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Lord, I pray that you, by the power of your Spirit today, would direct all of our attention to your Son who's with us. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.